Hello and thanks for joining us for this episode of The DINFOS Way, a Department of Defense podcast developed and produced at the Defense Information School. This program is dedicated to developing and showcasing the skills of military communicators, public affairs professionals, and industry experts from all over the world. I'm your host, Jack Rouse. I'm a former Navy and civilian journalist and a current training specialist here at DINFOS. In the studio with me today is a leader with a unique perspective across the Department of Defense communications landscape. He is our leader here and the acting director of the Defense Media Activity and DINFOS Commandant, Colonel Richard McNorton. Colonel McNorton joined us here in 2022, and prior to assuming leadership, he's had a long and illustrious career in the Army, serving at every level of leadership in public affairs and military communications. At DINFOS, he leads a team of 400 military, civilian, and contractor professionals responsible for the world-class training of approximately 2,600 public affairs, visual information, broadcasting, and broadcast maintenance professionals a year. In his dual role as acting director of Defense Media Activity, he also oversees an organization vital to connecting with service members and their families globally through various media platforms. We are excited to have him on today for an in-depth discussion into his directives for both DINFOS and DMA, their alignment with the Secretary of Defense's objectives, and how these two critical organizations collaboratively support military communications. Colonel McNorton, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
I feel like it's been a long time coming. Obviously, I've seen you in the halls for a long time, and we talk all the time, and it's great to have you on the show, ready to talk with our listeners and everybody else here at DINFOS. So again, thanks for coming on. So the first things first, as we do with all of our guests, if you don't mind, as far back as you want to go, if you could share with us a little bit about your career before you came to DINFOS.
Well, it all started here in DINFOS, my career as a public affairs officer back in 2005. I graduated here and went off to command a mobile public affairs detachment in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom. We were under the authorities of CENTCOM. And from that point forward, I had multiple assignments at the Human Resources Command, deployed five times to Afghanistan as an advisor and also as the director of strategic communications for both International Security Assistance Force, ISAF, and Resolute Support, RS. And then after that, went on to TRADOC, where I was the director of communication for General Funk, and I was also the Army Public Affairs Center director here at Fort Meade.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
It's gone by very fast.
So you've had a really unique position now overseeing both the Defense Information School as well as being the acting director at DMA. Can you kind of outline what your key directives are for both DMA and DINFOS and how they align to, you know, broader Department of Defense goals?
Yeah, so my focus has been on the future of positioning both the Defense Information School to build warfighting communicators that can fight and win our next war. For those communicators to achieve information advantage for their commanders, where our narratives are the narratives that are dominating the information environment. Given so many factors that are affecting the information environment right now, like AI, mis and disinformation, and such a big focus on that. And a few years back at the Joint Staff, information was added on as a warfighting capability. And so we owe it to the community to adjust the school and modernize what we teach, how we teach it, in order to get after that. And the same with Defense Media Activity. It was established, back in 2010, and it served its purpose really well. But now, as far as achieving information advantage and aligning with the SecDef's priorities of reestablishing deterrence, reestablishing warrior ethos and matching threats with capabilities, we're going through an adjustment to make sure we are doing that in support of the warfighter.
And that's an adjustment, again, not just here at the schoolhouse, but throughout the entire Defense Media Activity. Can you mention any specifics or anything that we're doing vis-a-vis training or vis-a-vis the programming that we put out?
Yeah, so a few years back when I took over as the commandant, we held a strategy offsite, and we had a very clear vision to develop warfighting communicators who can achieve information advantage. And in order to do that, we developed four lines of effort. And those four lines of effort was the first being taking care of people, followed by training and education, which is our bread and butter, modernizing and expanding capabilities, and inform and learn. And so within each of those lines of effort, we developed initiatives that would get after that vision. And so, for example, in the line of effort of taking care of people, we've implemented a holistic health and fitness program here that gets on spiritual readiness, physical readiness, nutrition, sleep, mindfulness, you know, all of the dimensions that we need to optimize the performance of our warfighting communicators. And not only do we implement that program, we also modernized our gym, both an indoor gym, outdoor gym, set up a mindfulness room for meditation or yoga to get after that, to reduce the level of stress, reduce injuries, reduce the burden that we have of service members going to behavioral health and being able to address those issues here through our leadership, through building cohesive teams and having that holistic health and fitness program available. You know, in addition to taking care of people, we owe it to the services to develop leaders. And so we've focused that with Sergeant Major Randolph kind of leading that. Before him, it was Sergeant Major Carden. And then our team here with the faculty development created a new course, the team lead course, where now we provide training on emotional intelligence and how to lead not only military personnel, but civilian personnel and contractors and given our instructors the tools that they need to be effective leaders. So when they do go back out to the fleet and field, they could lead those organizations. And what that ends up doing is making DINFOS a destination of choice for military personnel to come here and leave more effective as a communicator and as a leader. Another initiative we have within taking care of people is right-sizing the organization. When I came here, we were just doing so much as far as, you know, the teaching, back-to-back courses. We went through a transformation where we delivered a new course, the Mass Communication Foundations course. And what I observed was some instructor burnout. I mean, our instructors are so committed that they will, I mean, just kill themselves doing this and realize that this was unsustainable. So really took a look at our curriculum and identified ways that we can change the curriculum or how we deliver the training in order to take care of instructors and give them time to mentor, to coach, instead of, for example, spending a lot of time of grading. So we changed the way we do the grading here to still deliver that capable communicator, but reduce that burden on the instructors. And we also just recently completed a revision of the MCF course. It's in the pilot phase. Which we were able to reduce quite a few days off of that course, which created a little bit more time in between sessions for our instructors to reset. And finally, in looking at the instructors and how highly capable they were, I noticed that the grades that we had our instructors at was not on par with other organizations. Our instructors were GS-11s that were teaching the Mass Communication Foundations course. And as we when we rolled out this course, now we put the burden on the instructors to become qualified in five disciplines in photography, videography, public affairs, writing, and graphic design. And so as an incentive to get that training and become proficient on those skills, we changed the position to be an 11 target 12. They come in as an 11. And once they've achieved all the qualifications in each one of those disciplines, then they're eligible for promotion to Target 12. That helps us attract the best of the best out there and also helps us retain that talent here because we were losing instructors to other organizations, and it was mainly a financial decision. You know, as I interviewed them when they left, most of them left here in tears because they wanted to stay. But, you know, after COVID, the rising costs in the National Capital Region kind of forced them to do that. And then the second LOE being training and education, you know, looking at ways of integrating AI into how we deliver our training, AI on topics to teach our students. In some of the courses, they're authorized to use AI because we want our students to leave here understanding the capabilities of how to use it to augment what we do as communicators, but also to use it to detect what our adversaries are doing and leveraging that capabilities. So I have a real big focus right now on AI. And also with the training and education is taking out or delivering training as best as we can out in the fleet in the field instead of bringing everybody to the schoolhouse. And so we rolled out in October our new public affairs communication and strategy qualification course that is done as an asynchronous learning. It's about 10 months, And then we bring the students in here for 2 weeks for the exercise. And we were able to almost double the number of students that we can train in a year. And we're looking at other courses, especially in our intermediate and advanced level, to be able to deliver that training through distributed learning, e-learning, and get that out to the fleet and field. In addition to that, we have a mobile training team that goes out and delivers some of our intermediate courses and specific training out to the fleet and field where there's a training gap. And then the third line of effort is modernize and expand capabilities. And a lot of that had to do with our classrooms and also this room that I'm in right now, our podcast studio. You know, if we're going to teach podcasting as a capability to inform, you know, we've got to have that expertise in-house and be able to do it here. And in our classrooms, we call them Gen 5 classes where, you know, if in the event of another pandemic or during wartime where all of the students can't come into the classroom, we could deliver the same quality training in the classroom using the technology that we've installed in there. And we've also spent a lot of time and effort. And last week, we received our authorization to operate on our EDU system, our education system. It is now cyber secure. It was a long road to get there. It took about 3 years to meet those requirements. But in today's world, in order for us to defend ourselves from our adversaries, we have to deliver this training in a cyber secure environment, and we are now. And then finally, with the inform and learn, we developed a comm plan to get out and talk about what DINFOS does, what it does for our nation, what it does in terms of the quality of communicators that we build here at the schoolhouse, what we do in support of our allies and partners with our international courses here, and also going out and training them through our mobile training team. And on our website, we have a great tool called Pavilion. It's Public Affairs Visual Information Online. That is training resources that are used here in the schoolhouse. And also, when our students graduate and they go out to the fleet and field, it's a reach back capability that they have to get templates for writing a comm plan, for example, and other tools. And we do use those for training in our mobile training teams. And finally, with the inform and learn, encouraging our faculty and staff to get out and learn about AI. To get out to the conferences and how we can use that in grading, how we can use that in better tailoring our message to specific audiences. And so we're kind of in that learn phase as an institution. And those are primarily the lines of effort in support of our vision for DINFOS.
That's awesome. I mean, you mentioned so many great things there. We are constantly evolving, and it's great to be at a place where not only our work environment, but the career field and what we do for a living every day is so dynamic that it involves that everyday change that we have to make. And that's what we're doing here, which is phenomenal, especially with all the things that you mentioned. I've been part of the revision and the team lead course, and I take advantage of the holistic health room whenever I get the chance. So I can agree, or I can tell you at least, that all of those things are working very well. So thank you. How does all of the things that you just mentioned sort of tie into the SecDef's priorities and the DoD's priorities as a whole as at the moment?
Yeah, so our contribution to lethality is the graduates that leave here. The products that they create help our nation deter our adversaries. They're trained here to highlight the capabilities of their organization, the readiness of their organization, the morale and discipline of their organization, the readiness, and also sending very clear messages to our adversaries of our capabilities, our willingness to use it. And then if we do use it, we will destroy them. And so earlier this year, we had an initiative called RAF, the Restore American Fighting Force. And we went through very, very quickly and looked at some of our case studies and some of the assignments in the schoolhouse. And if those assignments didn't have anything to do with lethality or supporting the warfighter, we eliminated it. So, for example, where in some of the courses, going out and taking photos of, nature, animals, those kind of things, now we want them taking care of taking photos of military personnel, training, doing action, and to be focused on that. We no longer have the luxury of doing, feature stories. We want to focus on our readiness and our warfighter and our lethality. And so our communicators, in order to have deterrence, you have to talk about it. You have to communicate it. And that's what we do. In addition to that, just the culture here at DINFOS is not only do we have expectations of proficiency in the disciplines of photography, videography, public affairs, graphic design, and writing, but we expect all of our students to leave here disciplined, ready for combat, and physically fit. And that's teamwork between our instructor staff here and working with the services detachments to ensure that the readiness is maintained.
For sure. How are you going to utilize these incredible capabilities in support of the DMA mission, being the acting director over there now?
Yeah, so I took over as the acting director of DMA a couple months ago and immediately had a planning session where I revised our mission to align our mission with the Secretary of Defense's his guidance and his priorities. So the mission of DMA is to provide communication and information services supporting warfighter readiness and national defense. And so that's the new mission statement. And we developed lines of effort in support of that. And the three priorities that I'm focused on in order to align DMA and take them into the future, the first is modernizing AFN. AFN has been around for about 80 years, well-known throughout just about every conflict we've been in since then. They primarily have been focused on terrestrial radio and television, providing the service to our service members overseas and their families and retirees. But now, as we're in the digital age, we are modernizing so that we can deliver that content, the radio content and television, to include NFL, all of the various news channels, entertainment, and deliver that via apps. And instead of using what we're currently doing right now is through a broadcast center out in Riverside, California, using satellites and distributing it that way, we're going to be taking all of this content up into the cloud and delivering all of that from right here at Fort Meade. And so it's really exciting. Our goal is to have that done within the next 18 months. So come January 1st of 2027, what I expect is Radio Go to be delivered, across our OCONUS footprint from Fort Meade, and also AFN Now, having multiple channels that are available, delivered, secured in the cloud, on apps, on phone, notepad, television. And so now what we're doing is kind of taking them from 1993 technology, and that's what we're using right now out of Riverside, into the future in a more secure environment, and delivering this content in a way that this new generation consumes it. Linear broadcasting on the commercial side is dying. It is definitely not emerging. I mean, aside from sports and news, I've got a teenage boy and a young adult, and they consume all of their content via streaming apps. And so we're kind of placing DMA now where it needs to be in the future with our AFN modernization. The second is to make sure that our media production team is supporting the Secretary of Defense messaging and getting out there and communicating it, amplifying it to ensure that DMA is contributing to deterring our adversaries by highlighting our capabilities and highlighting the warfighter and inspiring others to serve. When we talk about a warrior ethos, part of a warrior ethos is cohesive teams, working together and showing what these teams look like and their strength, their resilience to inspire others to serve and to rebuild that trust and confidence with the American people. And then the other priority that we have is DINFOS, expanding the training that we offer here to align it with into the future. And that future is where the Department of Defense, the services, they're able to provide warfighting communicators that can achieve information advantage. They can counter mis and disinformation, quickly respond, can analyze and assess the information environment and make recommendations to the commander on how to get in there to ensure that our messaging is what is dominating the information environment. Those are the three big priorities right now with DMA as we go through as a result of some of the cuts we've taken in personnel and budget and reorganize. We're reorganizing to those priorities.
Sure. We've talked a lot about how we're evolving right now and all of the great things that we're doing in the building at the moment. And you've also talked about sort of the information landscape and what it looks like at the moment, how we're evolving to stay current with that too. As you look at our information future, you know, the next 4, 5, 10 years as we go into the future, how do you think we need to continue to evolve to stay relevant in the information space?
Yeah, so I think some of the skill sets that when we talked about a little earlier is the use of AI. The use of AI and being more effective as a communicator and being able to be augmented, you know, for example, in generating a news release. Instead of at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning when there's an aircraft mishaps, you know, at least getting a template that's generated from there and then going through and making sure we always maintain, you know, human in the loop to review that, insert a quote, make sure that all of the content in there is accurate before releasing. And then also using AI to assess, you know, how well our products that we are releasing into the information dimension is resonating. You know, did we achieve our objective? You know, is it is it informing? Is it educating? And how do we assess that? And that's kind of a gap that we have right now. That as we move into later this month, we're having a training task and selection board. And this is where the services are going to come in and talk about some of the training tasks that we need to train our officers, our NCOs. And so I expect the leveraging AI tools and how to assess and analyze the information environment as being some of those tasks that we need to do out in the future to be able to detect mis and disinformation early on, be able to engage that effectively, and then measure whether or not our engagement was effective. Did we neutralize that misinformation that's out there? Some organizations do that pretty well. The organizations that do it really well spend a lot of money having contractors do that. And so we're at the point now that we need to be able to train our own communication professionals to do that in preparation of the next fight. Because the next fight is most likely going to be from the homeland, where we're countering mis and disinformation from apps like TikTok that are, you know, influencing our family members on what is happening overseas. And the PAOs and communication directors are going to be fighting that fight from their living room to their base, on the aircraft, in the air, at sea, all the way into theater. The days of, you know, packing your bags and you start work once you get in theater are over. It's going to start before we leave. And so we need to have those tools ready to do that and have the right training skills and the right communicators to be able to fight that fight from the homeland.
And you also talked about, you know, how we're going to have to, A, move with speed, but also make sure that our message is getting out there and it's the most important one and it's relevant and it's being, you know, rebroadcast so it becomes a message that everyone sees. How do we maintain our credibility as communicators so that we can do that? We can be in front of people's eyes. We can make sure we're the message they're seeing. How do we maintain our credibility through that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Right now, as DINFO's trained killers, we graduate from here and we have that credibility. We do have that trust from the media, from the American people. Our motto here is strength through truth. It's kind of aligned with this current administration, Reagan's peace through strength. So peace through strength through truth. But also, last year in the NDAA, DINFO's was directed to develop a pilot course for digital content provenance. And what that means is to provide a course to train our communicators on how to ensure that the metadata on imagery is accessible to the American people so they can verify that whatever we release as a Department of Defense communicator can be trusted and verified. And we have a course. We are getting ready to finish our fourth pilot of that course, and we're going to go back to Congress with that. And I expect that training in digital content provenance to not only be used by the Department of Defense, but across the whole of government. And that is going to be a tool so we can maintain that trust and confidence in American people, that imagery, video that's released by a U.S. government official can be verified and is accurate and is not a deep fake but if a video has been altered, they will be able to check it. And that's the program work. We're working with you know, one of the leading organizations right now is through Adobe. They've got a tool to do that. We're looking at multiple tools to include U.S. government creating our own to maintain that trust and confidence. But what's key to achieving information advantage is that trust, is that we are the trusted voice in the information space, and that's how we would achieve that advantage.
I'm glad you said so many valuable things during the course of that answer, one of which is also huge, that we partner with people who are accepted and trusted by the American people. You know, Adobe, for instance, is such an incredibly huge company, and they're partnering with all of these other image creation companies to make sure that images are either watermarked or presented to the public in some way so that we can tell what's AI generated and what isn't. And having that kind of provenance is amazing. And working with them to have that kind of trust is how we maintain credibility. So that was an excellent point, I think. You know, now that DMA and DINFOS are partnering in a way that we've kind of never seen before, I'm not sure if there's been a DINFOS commandant who's ever been acting director of DMA before, but now that the doors are kind of open for a greater partnership, how do you see that pathway kind of working for DINFOS grads and the folks who work at DMA now?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, DINFOS has been around before DMA. You know, DINFOS has been here, it was stood up in 1964. Last year, we celebrated our 60th anniversary. And, you know, DMA is a much newer organization. It's been around less than 15 years. And it is a headquarters. There's also AFN that is there and some other functions that they perform. You're right. This is the first time that the DINFOS Commandant has been the acting DMA director. And that's probably why there's a lot more communication that is happening. But my focus when I took this position as the acting director was to have the whole organization focused on the mission. And the mission is DINFOS, American Forces Network, media production, and our web.mil. And so each one of those has mission leaders. And so the staff is focused and the support staff on ensuring the success of those mission leaders and understanding what their requirements are and prioritizing those requirements over the headquarters staff. And so that's probably why you're seeing a little bit of a change, more interest in supporting the mission and the effects of the mission. The headquarters, the DMA headquarters exists to support the mission leaders and all those that are deployed all around the world every day, contributing to our lethality by highlighting the capabilities of our force, talking about it, inspiring others to serve, maintaining that trust and confidence in the American people so that we are provided the resources that we need to fund our military and also the volunteers that we need to man the formations. And so DMA plays a huge role in doing that through all of the content that our media production creates and that our American Forces Network sustains by communicating that across the world.
For sure. And you mentioned in an earlier response, too, that the DINFOS motto is something that has to continue to resonate, as it always has, which is strength through truth. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the DMA motto, which is communicate, innovate, and inspire, and sort of what that means for you, again, not only now, but as we look towards the future.
Yeah. Yeah. So the communicate piece is an important, as I mentioned, the media production. We also have DVIDs out there. DVIDs is used by the media, the American people. It's the defense visual imagery distribution system. We're looking at expanding some of that capability. This is where any imagery that is downloaded from there can be trusted. It will have all of the digital content provenance requirements and can be monitored. It can be verified to make sure it was not manipulated, and also goes to NARA, to the National Archives for storage. And so what we're doing as far as the communicate piece is making sure that media production is aligned with the Secretary and the Service's messaging priorities and communicating that and amplifying that across the globe. On the innovate piece, this is where the modernization of AFN and taking them up into the cloud, taking the web services that we provide up into the cloud so it's more secured and not open to attack by our adversaries. But also we're looking at creating some new capabilities to assess and analyze the information environment and how well those communications are doing. As I mentioned, it's a skill set that we need for our communicators, but also as an organization. So as we modernize, we're looking at restoring some of that into a new component called the Digital Visual Information Component. And this is where DVIDs will be. This is where our record keeping will be. Our web, and also our ability to monitor, generate reports of the information environment, and detect.
That's very cool. Man, there's so many things. So I know you've been here for a while now, and you're a frequent visitor in our classrooms. We see you all the time. Can you share with us any of the stories, the success stories about the instructors or the students or anything that you've particularly touched you over the time that you've been here?
Well, I think what I see is not only do I, you know, I'm here in the classroom, as I go out and travel and visiting units, especially like recently going out to Fort Bragg, or even overseas, is the number of our graduates coming in and talking about their instructors and how they missed it and how impressionable they were, and also the feedback I get from their leaders on the quality of our graduates that have graduated from the MCF course. So that feedback is really rewarding. This is the first time that I've had a leadership position where I see a young trainee come in without any of this experience or knowledge, and over the course of about 5 months, leave here with all of these skills. And then when I go out to the fleet and field and see some of them in action and get the feedback of how well they are doing, it makes me very proud of my team here. You know, I'm very proud at the graduations because that's that instant reward, but actually seeing them out in the fleet and field and they talk about their instructors by name, and I usually approach the instructors and let them know who was talking about them and what their thoughts were of them, of the instructors, and it puts usually a big smile on their face.
Well, thank you for the kind words. We as instructors here love to hear those kinds of things. And I will pass that along to everyone I know. Don't worry. We've talked about so many cool things. We've talked about how we're innovating, how we're changing and growing to deal with the changing communications landscape. We've talked about your work with DMA and how it aligns with what we're doing here at DINFOS. And then we talked also about kind of what we're looking at as far as the future goes and how kind of the whole communications landscape is going to grow and evolve. Is there anything else that you wanted to add or anything else that you wanted to talk about that was maybe an important line of effort or something else that you think our audience needs to know about either what we're doing here or what you think public affairs or military communications should mean to them?
Yeah. So another focus, as I mentioned, achieving information advantage, and for our warfighting communicators to be able to be effective in a multi-domain environment, with what I described, like, messaging coming across TikTok, mis and disinformation, it's going to take more education than what we offer here at DINFOS. And many of our students come with some college credit, whether they took AP courses or some, went to junior college, or some even went to a university but may have chose the military path. Our courses are accredited by ACE. For example, the MCF course recommended 18 units of college credit towards a bachelor's degree, which is really awesome. We've partnered with a couple universities, with West Virginia University and Southern New Hampshire University, West Virginia University for master's program, Southern New Hampshire. We're looking at more of these opportunities to partner with for degrees, for our students, for our faculty and staff, and really preparing this organization in the event that a decision is made for DINFOS to be a degree-granting institution, that we're prepared to do that. Other organizations like the Defense Language Institute and Uniformed Services University have degree programs. We do not. We have to be directed to do that, just like we were directed to develop a course on digital content provenance. And so in anticipation of that, just in kind of seeing how the what the expectations are of our communicators, the education in addition to what we teach here is going to be important. And so as I look into the future, I believe we need to prepare as an organization for that. And so that's what I see, kind of into the futures potentially, if directed DINFOS being a degree-granting institution.
Yeah, I hope for our sake that it does. The introduction of the provost and the vice provost positions says a lot towards where we're leaning as far as how that goes. So providing those educational opportunities, again, as you said, not just for the students, but also the staff, I think is going to help, across the board, right? So the more educated and better your instructors are, the better they are at passing that instruction on to the students. So.
Exactly. Yeah, another change we made is, last year I had a deputy commandant, and instead of having a deputy commandant, I decided that in preparation, in the event that we are directed to be a degree granting, change that position to a dean, the dean of academic affairs and faculty and staff. And so her responsibility, in addition to the academic affairs, is to ensure that our faculty is developed and fully qualified to teach whatever courses that they're teaching. And so there's that focus area in preparation in the event that we do get tasked to do that.
Absolutely. So the last thing I would ask is one of the things I ask of all my guests, any tips that you would give these young communicators that are listening or folks who are thinking about joining the career field, coming into the service, what are the tips that you would give them that military communicators need to know to be successful right away?
Yeah, so I think the biggest tip I would give, and it's for all levels, whether you're a private E1 or a lieutenant colonel, is you need to earn your seat at the table to be included in the planning, in operations. And the way you earn that seat is to demonstrate your capabilities on what you can do. And so as soon as you get to your unit, show what you can do. Don't wait to be told, do. You're there to offer options, suggestions. You are the expert in communications. And so don't wait to be told. Shortly after you start providing, becoming an asset and providing useful information, useful guidance, you'll get that seat at the table. It does have to be earned. And so instead of kind of observing and waiting, lean into that, because it's going to be key. The capabilities that we offer to commanders is critical towards achieving information advantage and maintaining that trust and confidence.
For sure. Sir, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming in and having this conversation with us today. We needed that update, I think, about DINFOS and DMA and what we're going towards as we look at the future. And I appreciate you coming in. As I said, if we could have you in again before you leave us, as I'm sure happens to all service members down the road, we'd appreciate that. So again, thanks for the conversation. Appreciate you coming in.
All right. Thank you. And you've been doing a fantastic job with these podcasts. I've listened to many of them, and they're all fantastic. And great tool for our career field as far as professional development and sharing all this knowledge from expert communicators from across the fleet and field.
Thank you, sir. I will take this opportunity, as I don't think I've done yet on the air, to say thank you to my producer, Lauren Neff, who's sitting here beside me, who's done such tremendous work as well. And also thank you to Mr. Chris Diamond, who without him, we would not have this podcast studio. So thank you for your kind words, sir. We appreciate that very much. And have a great afternoon.
Thank you.